Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Let's put our hands together for the praise and worship team this morning. Thank you, buddy. Well, how good is this, eh? Resurrection Sunday. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is risen, is that death could not hold him down. And that's great, great news. And at the outset, I just want to thank you as a church, City Point North. This is absolutely remarkable. As I walked in today, I had tears in my eyes. And so I just want to give a big thanks to Pastor Graham and Mel Politansky. Just absolutely phenomenal guys. And I know it just takes more than just a couple as well. And I want to thank you as a church. I want to thank you for those that have been here in this facility night after night, day after day, over months now. For those that have invested prayer, those invested finances for us to be here today. And I know this, in this place of where it was empty just moments ago, is that this place is full of promise. It's full of prophecy. It's full of words that God has delivered over the past 20-odd years of what's going to take place in these northern suburbs of Brisbane. And so I encourage you, it's not over. This is just the beginning. This is just day one of something phenomenal, is that God has given us a place to plant our feet here in Caboolture. And we want to give thanks to God for that. And big thanks to the church for everything that you have done. And I know we're here to celebrate the opening of a building, but above that, we're here to celebrate the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Is it the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in each and every one of us? I want to ask today, do you realize what you're carrying inside of you right now? Is that you are just not a natural being. You have the breath of God upon your life. Is that God has empowered us and commissioned us to go in all the world. Is our job will never ever finish. And so this morning, I want to love to preach a message to. I pass on a big thanks and congratulations from our global senior pastors, Pastor Mark and Lee Ramsey, there in Nashville at the moment. We're back home in a couple of weeks, but I know that they are just blown away. We're on a FaceTime call earlier with them. They're blown away by what's taking place here. But I'd just love to be able to preach a message to you. As I consider the story of Easter, the reality of Easter is over this period in the Word of God, all I seem to find is emptiness, is that we have an empty life. In the life of Jesus has poured out everything for humanity. We see an empty cross, and 3 days after the emptiness of the cross, we now have an empty tomb. Is that Easter, as I look through the story, it's emptiness after emptiness after emptiness. And as I look at the world around about us, is that we really have an empty world. We can look at advertising on TV and on radio, and it promises so much, but yet it really delivers. Have you seen those McDonald's ads where you've got the Big Mac there? And it looks huge, but when you open it up today out of that package, like it could fit in a child's hand, is that advertising promises so much, but it very rarely delivers. I find as humanity, is if you and I have empty stomachs, is that some of you get really, really cranky, really, really angry. Is that none of us like to have emptiness inside of us. What's even worse is when you jump in your car early in the morning and your car is empty, that red gauge is just flashing at you, screaming at you. None of us like emptiness. See, the world gives us promises that are empty, but Jesus gives us emptiness that's full of promise. And today I'm going to look at the empty life, and I'm going to look at the empty cross. We're going to look at the empty tomb. But in every one of those places of emptiness, there is a great place of promise for each and every one of us. And so from the start, I'd love to look at the empty life of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that he emptied everything of himself for you and I so that we could have life? Is that Jesus went to the cross and gave up his life so that you and I could have eternal and abundant life here in this present age. John 19 and verse 30 says this, and so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he cried out saying, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. What an incredible final words, these last words that Jesus uttered in human flesh, crying out, "It is finished." In the Greek, it's just one word, tetelestai, meaning it is finished. And here, as Jesus is about to breathe his last breath, he cries out these words, "It is finished." Is it this word means this? It means that of something that took place in the past that has enduring present and abiding results. And so it literally says this, Jesus crying out saying, "It is done, and it will remain done forever and ever and ever." Is that there is nothing else that humanity can add to the finished work of the cross. Is that you and I just simply have to believe, because Jesus paid the price for everything. I am so glad on that day the final words of Jesus was, "It is finished." I am so glad he did not say, "I am finished." Is that he had so many "I am" statements as he walked around the earth. He said, "I am the bread of life, and I am the door, and I am the good shepherd." Before Abraham was, "I am." "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." But his last words were not, "I am finished." No, "It is finished. I have done and I have accomplished everything my Father has asked me to do. It is done, humanity. It is finished." As some were watching on that day, they thought that that was just the last gasp of a worn out, defeated, exhausted life. But nothing could be further from the truth. That wasn't the last gasp. That wasn't a defeated, exhausted statement. No, it was a shout of victory. It was a victory shout that everything his Father had asked him to do, he has now finally done. There is nothing else that he could do. He has fulfilled every prophecy that needed to be filled by himself. There was one to come, that his Father would raise him from the dead. He poured out his life for you and I, and I am so grateful for that. Philippians 2 sums it up beautifully. In verse 5 it says, "Is have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard himself equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself." What an incredible picture. "Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I am so glad that Jesus emptied himself so that you and I could be full of him, not full of ourselves. Would you and I empty ourselves of everything today that would hinder us from being full of his nature and his spirit? I wonder what it is today that you need to empty your life of. What habit pattern that may have gripped your heart, has gripped your mind, that you need to empty yourself of? What are those selfish desires that you and I, we all carry inside of us, that we need to empty ourselves of on this great Resurrection Sunday to be so full of the goodness of God? And maybe there are ones here today that you have never called upon the name of Jesus Christ and have allowed him to become your Lord and Savior. Maybe there's some ones here today where you have once made that decision, but rather than advancing in your walk with God, you've actually been taking some backward steps in your relationship with God. I am so grateful on this Easter weekend that Jesus gave absolutely everything for humanity, that there is nothing that you and I could ever do that would separate us from the great love of God. And it gives humanity an opportunity to respond to this passage of Scripture, that we just have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and our eternity is assured in him. And so this morning, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask those ones in this place, do you know Jesus Christ? Is he more than your best friend? Are you actually connected to the life source of who he is? As he emptied his life for each and every one of us, that right now, in your place of emptiness, you could be filled to a place of overflow, a place of salvation, a place of forgiveness, because that's what the Easter message is that we could be forgiven of all of our wrongs and come into relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. I wonder where you are positioned with Jesus this morning. Right now in this moment, if you say, hey, Mike, I need Jesus. Is that my life is empty. It may be full of all the wrong things, but right now that you would say, I need to empty myself of these things and take on the fullness of Jesus Christ. And today, if you're like that, say, hey, Mike, would you please pray for me? I want to come back into relationship with Jesus. Right now, I want to make the first-time decision to follow Jesus. If you're like that today, I'd love you right now, just lift up your hand as a sign to God to say, I just need you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that hand. I appreciate that. Thank you. Is there any others today as I look across? Put it up high. It's a dark auditorium today. Is anyone else would join with that one person today to say, I need Jesus. I need him today. I need him today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your saving grace today. We thank you for that one life. Your word would say we'd leave the 99, you'd go after the one. And so, Father, we thank you for that one right now that stands in a place of wholeness and forgiven, that responded to the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thank that they are now a daughter of the Most High God. That God, the fullness of you is now in the fullness of her life. And Father, we give you thanks in and through your wonderful name. Let's put our hands together, celebrate for that life today. Congratulations. See, we have a God who specializes in filling emptiness. Genesis chapter 1, where the earth was without form and it was void, it was empty. And God can simply just declare a couple of words, and in that emptiness, there comes a place of creation and life there. Is it that day that thousands upon thousands followed him and they were sitting on the mountainside having empty stomachs? Is it just out of a few loaves and a few fish? Is that emptiness was now in a place of fullness? Today, if you are empty, it's not a bad thing if you know the source who can fill you and I. He specialized in filling empty. A goat walks into a wedding one day, the very first miracle, they run out of wine. There's some empty vessels there. Fill them to a place of overflow. And when Jesus touches on something so natural as water, it becomes better than our best. Would you allow the touch of Jesus Christ to be on your life? You may be good right now. People may look at you and say, you've got all these gifts and talents, but when God's touch is on your life, you're better than that. Would you allow the touch of Jesus to be on your life? He came and filled lives that were empty of hope. John chapter 4, it's a great passage of scripture about Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. Let me read some passages to you. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? Is the Jews and Samaritans just did not get on. The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Would you and I be so hungry for this water? Is it this lady came to the well in a place of emptiness? She says that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. What a question. They come to the discovery that she's had many, many husbands, and the man she's living with is currently not a husband. The story ends, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. What an incredible transaction that takes place here at just a simple well. A transaction where the lady was, all she was talking about was physical water, but all Jesus was talking about was a spiritual water, a water that would never ever run dry. Is that this transaction, she comes with a bucket and she leaves with a spring of living water. I don't know what's carrying inside of your life or what you're carrying today, but it's not about the quantity. It's about the great exchange and transaction that can take place. That in our place of emptiness is that Jesus is always full. Would you bring your bucket into the presence of God because you could leave with a spring overflowing of everlasting water? If she came into the presence of Jesus as a reject, but she went back being accepted by God himself, is I want to let you know today, is humanity may have uttered words over your life, but God has great, great, powerful words of promise over your life. Is she came laden with questions and she went back with the source of all answers. She came living a life of quiet desperation, but she ran back into a town overflowing with hope. Would you come see this man who knows everything about my life? Would you and I, on this Easter Sunday, allow the great exchange to take place, a transaction of all we are for all he is? There's no better deal. He pours out his life so that you and I can have life. He empties himself of everything so that we can have his everything. Would you allow the transaction, the exchange to take place? I am so glad over this Easter weekend that Jesus emptied himself of everything for you and I. We move on, we see an empty cross. Mark 15, verse 43, and Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage. Would you and I take some courage today? He went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. What an ask. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. He takes him down from the cross. We do not worship a crucifix. We worship a risen Savior. But this symbol of an empty cross is so significant for you and I of faith. It was the greatest exchange that could ever take place. It's the life of the Son of God who died instead of Mike Mulheron, Graham Politansky. He died in the place of you and I. Is that our punishment was death, but Jesus took upon death upon himself so that you and I could have life. That this is the ultimate sacrifice that has ever been given. Is no other God worshipped on planet Earth right now has ever laid down his life for a human being. Every other God that we serve, that people serve on planet Earth, demands of humanity that we must do something in order to be in relationship with that God, except our God. Our God who paid the price for each and every one of us so that we would never have to pay the price, the consequences of the sin that we found ourselves in. I am so grateful today for an empty cross. I am so grateful today that because of the empty cross is that you and I could walk forgiven day after day after day. And when we stuff up today, is we can come back in a heart of repentance and we've stand in the place of wholeness and forgiven day after day after day after day. Is that you and I can make bad choices and bad decisions, but Jesus paid the price for each and every one of them so that we could come back into that place of relationship and stand forgiven and walk in his forgiveness day after day after day. I am so grateful that the cross is empty today
because that is the place where blood flowed to bring salvation and redemption. I am so glad that he took the stripes upon his back, because out of that, that you and I are declared whole and well. And today, if you need a miracle, all you simply need to do is to look at the life of Jesus Christ. As he went to that cross, the shame, the mock, the pain, the agony he went through was for you. And all I can say today, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad for an empty cross. What a master plan of God. He loved you so much that he would give his only son. And his son at different times, even in the garden, would say, Father, would you let this cup pass from me? Is there another way? He asked him three times. There's no other way. I'm so grateful for an empty cross.
We move on to Resurrection Sunday today. I think today is the greatest day in the Christian calendar. He's risen. We have an empty life. We have an empty cross. We have an empty tomb. Luke 24. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body. of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Remember? Remember what he told you back in Galilee? Hey, remember that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. And then they remembered that he had said this. He is risen. What? How good is a good memory, hey? That they had forgotten what he had said. And now all of a sudden it comes back into their recollection that he said on the third day, I'm going to raise again. That they had no understanding what was going to take place. But the reality of it has now happened. It's now here. It's an empty tomb. It's a humanity has not stolen the body of Jesus Christ. No, his Father has put the touch of heaven on his Son. He's risen from the dead. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, says this, "And if Christ is not risen from the dead, our faith is futile, and we are still located in our sins." I am so glad today that Jesus Christ is risen and that our faith is not futile. Our faith is strong. Our faith is in God Almighty. Is that you and I are no longer in our sins, that we are free from shame and sin and condemnation. Is that that's the benefit of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the benefit of his resurrection. If there was no resurrection, this is all a fraud. It's a waste of time. But no, because he is risen, this is so real right now. I am so grateful for an empty life, an empty cross, and an empty tomb, because these were the benefits of an empty tomb. Is that we had the ability to be restored to God. John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these?" Remember just days earlier is that Peter has denied Christ three times. He's decided to go fishing. He's got a boatload of fish right now because Jesus has intervened. Now they're back on the shore and Jesus asked, "Do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Is that Jesus loves you and I so much that he wants to restore us. This is an incredible dialogue, incredible conversation that Jesus has with the one that just days earlier has denied him. And so I don't know what your life looks like right now or where your life is situated or what things need to be restored today, but I want to let you know, because there is an empty tomb, is that God wants to bring restoration over your life. Maybe it's over family members and mums and dads with sons and daughters. Maybe it's with next door neighbors or work colleagues. And maybe the enemy has stolen from you financially, physically. Is that I know this, because that Jesus has risen from the dead, is that he desires restoration over your life. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now where ones, Father, things have been stolen from them. Relationship and health and finance today has been stolen for people. The joy has been taken away and peace has been taken away. The God, I thank you that you are the great restorer. Restore right now, Father. Do a creative miracles over lives. We give you thanks for your ability to make all things new. Restore your people. I love that Jesus not only restored us because there's an open tomb, but he also commissions you and I. And all these stories take place as Jesus walks in a whole different form and different shape and appearance after his resurrection. Is that Jesus desires to restore us, but he also desires to commission us. As John 20 and verse 21 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Is that each and every one of us are commissioned by the Spirit of God to go into our world. I love just a couple of hours earlier is that this building was empty. Now it's full. I'd love you to just think for a moment that the time where Jesus found you. What situation were you had found your life in? What age were you? When someone told you about the good news of Jesus Christ and how that has changed your life in that moment. And here you stand right now. If someone gave you an invitation. Someone told you the good news. Or God himself came and visited you. And because there is an empty tomb, is that God says, I want to restore you, but I also want to commission you to go into all your world. Is over this north side of Brisbane, is that there are multitudes in the valley of decision. You and I have a part to play in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray for courage today. Just as Joseph had asked the king of the day, Pilate, for the body of Christ, he said he was full of courage to do that. I pray that you and I would have the courage to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Is that this church, we would not have a 9 a.m. service for very long. That we'd have multiple services week and after week after week after week. Would you and I allow the commissioning breath of God to come over our lives, that we'd go into all of our world? I love that he has restored us. I love that he has commissioned us. But I am so grateful that he has also empowered you and I, because there is an empty tomb. John 21, verse 22, it says this, and when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I know you've all got masks on right now, but I just want you to just breathe out. Everyone's glasses are going to fog up right now. Breath is so powerful. God breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit, and they're full of the Holy Spirit. I am so grateful that the opportunity of an empty tomb today made way for the great exchange, that the Holy Spirit would come. And here Jesus breathes upon his disciples, that they receive the empowerment of God Do you realize what you and I are carrying? I said at the outset, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. You are carrying something so remarkable. You're carrying the very presence of God. You're carrying the power of God. God, I pray that you would empower us afresh right now at this moment. God, that you would put us in a place of overflow, that the Holy Spirit inside of us, Father, would not just be contained within, but we would go into all of our world and we'd preach the gospel. We'd lay hands on the sick and we'd see the healing power of Jesus Christ flow. Would you allow the breath of God to come? Breathe on us, Lord. I am so grateful for an empty tomb where we have been restored, and we have been commissioned, and we have been empowered. On this Easter Sunday, Jesus came. He emptied himself so that you and I could be filled. He went to the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead so that we could be restored, commissioned, and empowered. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've done in and through our lives. Father, I just want to say thank you. Let us remember what you've done for us. So that our thanksgiving flows from right remembering. God, at this moment, let us remember your words, your love, what you placed inside of us. And when we remember the right things, thank you that thanksgiving flows. And out of that, Father, every day of our lives will stand the place of awe for what you have done for us and how much you love us. And I pray over this great church today on this opening of a new facility. We give you thanks for those that have led this house over decades previously. I give you thanks for the current leadership of Pastor Graham and Mel and their team. And I thank you, Father, you're restoring things back to them. You're commissioning this great church. You're empowering this great church to touch this city around about them. We prophesy life. We prophesy increase. We prophesy favor over them and your people today, God. Thank you for an empty life, an empty cross, an empty tomb. In your wonderful name. We all said amen and amen. As you consider this weekend, I always pray that you'd always see the emptiness, but it's an emptiness full of promise, hey?